Well, good morning, everyone. There's a story of a pastor who was driving to an appointment in order to get to the town. He was running a little late, so he began to speed as he was getting there. And he noticed his watch, and it kept getting later and later, so the faster he went. He was going about 20 miles over the speed limit. And then he realized that he had a Christian bumper sticker on his car. And he started to panic. What will people think of me when they see that? What if a parishioner sees me with that on there? But he had to keep going because he had to make this appointment. So he kept speeding along, and then it hit him. He pulled over to the side of the road, got out of the car, and yanked the bumper sticker off of his car. Life's decisions are tough sometimes, especially when it comes to heart issues. Because that is where the battle for our soul reigns. That is where the desire of our being comes from. Jesus said this, and we covered this a few weeks ago, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person." There is this inner struggle within us to do good or do evil. And in our gospel reading today, we see an example of that struggle. Here are some Greeks who have come to seek an audience with Jesus. They first go to Philip. Philip goes to Andrew, and they both go to Jesus, and they are acting as the gatekeeper, so to speak, so these gentlemen could get and see Jesus. This visit is really more important than one might see on the surface for two reasons. One is that the visit that these Gentiles who came, they were obviously struggling with something inside. These are persons searching for some answers. Maybe they are converts to Judaism. We know that they came to worship. Maybe they've seen some of the miracles or heard Jesus teach along the way. Maybe they just heard others talking about Jesus, and now something is stirring inside of them. After all, Jesus has been around. He's gone out to other lands and around the area. He has touched the lives of Jew and Gentile. He has brought forth many signs and wonders to the forefront with a message that goes along with it. You can be made whole. You can have a new life fulfilled. Whatever happened, these Greek visitors have to know more. So naturally, they want to see Jesus. Now here's the other important part of this visit. For Jesus, this is a sign. He knew that when people from far off start making their way to be reunited with God, there is where his purpose is showing that his purpose is being fulfilled. All that Jesus has offered to this point is a message and the miracles. That message is only capable of preparing the heart. That message can only stir the spirit from within. That message in and of itself cannot save a person. The human race is still a fallen people. Jesus comes to the world, he has set the stage, and now something has to be done to make the message complete. There has to be an atonement. There has to be a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. There has to be a way made for people to once again step into that wonderful relationship with their Creator as it was intended. And only God can do that. Now that the world has heard and seen what Jesus has opened their eyes to, the next step must take place. Jesus uses the analogy of a wheat. He said, "Truly, truly," that means really, really listen. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." You see, a seed, by all practical purposes, does nothing outside of the ground. A seed by itself in the open can do nothing. It can hang around for years in the open or in a container or it remains only a seed. But when it is planted, something happens. A seed must be buried and watered for new life to take place. And when that one seed begins to grow, a stalk is produced. The plant begins to produce many seeds. A stalk of wheat will produce hundreds of other seeds that will grow as well. In this analogy, Jesus is referring to himself, of course. He has given the message, laid the groundwork, and now the seed has to be planted. The time is here. Everything has been prepared. And the reality of that sets in. Jesus said, "Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour." Jesus' mission is coming to a climax. This is why he came. The very human side of Jesus doesn't really like what he knows about is going to happen. He knows that this will hurt. He knows how unbearable it will feel. He knows that it will result in a physical death. He also knows he will overcome it and usher in something so wonderful, something so special, so unique, something that was prophesied by Jeremiah. No longer will people look at the law as something, just something to live by. It becomes inscribed in our hearts as we let Jesus in. As we discussed a couple of weeks ago, we become the tabernacle of God as we invite him into our lives. And he will be our God. And we will be his people. By Jesus overcoming death and rising to life, will provide the way for human race to overcome sin, that which separates us from God, and in turn, we will rise to new life in Christ. He is the seed, and now it has to be planted. And as this new life begins, this wheat, so to speak, it starts to grow, and more wheat is produced. A life in Christ is a wonderful, wonderful adventure. When that bumper sticker that defines who you are in Christ is seen, it can open up all kinds of opportunities. You've heard me talk before about the public stockman that I have opened up an occasional opportunity to share with at the Publix that Debbie and I go to, even praying for his back one time in the middle of the aisle. Well, the other day, our paths crossed again as I was walking into Publix to pick up a few things, and he was joyfully came up and said, "Are you ready for the big day?" As he was stocking Easter candy at the front of the store, I said, "I'm getting there." And he jokingly said, "Do you want me to work it out with management so you can practice your sermon over the intercom of the store?" I said, "Now that would be unique." The point is, he's read my bumper sticker, and he's willing to talk about it. I didn't walk down the aisle of Publix one day and say, "I'm a Christian." It came out of a casual conversation that God opened the door for to share with him some 3 years ago. You see, we can be going so fast in life to get to the next destination, we miss the opportunities that God has right in front of us. And here's the question I have for us today. Do we ever stop our spiritual car, go outside and rip off the bumper sticker that defines who we are in Christ? It is so easy to glide through crowds of life and hide who we are. All of us have done it. I know I've done it. We can blend in pretty well and not be seen. Just like that pastor speeding down the road, blending in, maybe. Sometimes I am convicted of these words from Jesus: "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now that sounds confusing, doesn't it? But here's what Jesus is getting at. When we live a life that is full of the love of Christ, we hate what separates us from him. You see, he is carrying us on a journey that will last forever. This is just a stepping stone from where we will be in eternity. This is all about growing more and more into him while we're here. In other words, if you hate what separates you from God, if you want to be cleansed of the things like greed and sickness and anger, selfishness, anger, lust, bitterness, the sexual immorality, all that stuff we talked about, if you feel separated from God, if you are like the Greeks in our reading who today are seeking something out of Jesus that he has to offer, Jesus said this, "Come to me, all you that heavy laden, and I will refresh you." So I don't want to rip off my bumper sticker. By the way, it hurts so much when you do that. When I think of Christ went through to put it there, why would I want to rip it off? And you know what? I hope when others see that bumper sticker, they will ask me about it. Even if I'm speeding, so to speak, at the time. Even if I'm messing up, and I mess up, ask Debbie. That's just another door to say, you know what? I'm not perfect yet. I'm working toward what Jesus called us to be perfect. I'm working towards that, but I do know something. Do you want to hear more about it? We may indeed catch a little flack by standing up and saying who we are in Christ. We may also slip and fall a few times. David knew that all too well. He wrote Psalm 51 that we read today just after the prophet Nathanael brought him to task about the transgression that he went through when he lusted after another woman. It was David's cry in our psalm today, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." Then he continues, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Regarding those Greeks knocking on Jesus' door, we are never told what if they got their audience with Jesus or not. There is probably a reason. The answer the Greeks sought could only be given by what Jesus had to do next. That is to experience the fullness of God through Christ's death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Because that is the only way that life can be complete. I didn't say that, Jesus did. And if Jesus is God incarnate, and he is, then there is truth in his words. Because you see, there are a whole lot of people out there dealing with the same issues that we all face and asking the same questions that the Greek visitors had. If he's real, I want to see Jesus. If he's real, I want to understand his message. If he's real, I want to experience what you are experiencing. So many are just drifting along in the sea of life. They look and try to attach themselves to anything that seems spiritual. Some will seek answers in horoscopes and psychics and mediums and New Age philosophy. Anything that has a glimpse of hope, of fulfillment. But what they truly crave is a clean heart and a renewed spirit. And that is what Jesus seeks, and that is what he offers us. And that's what God wants to do within all of us, to create in each of us clean hearts. Hearts that are open and willing to do his bidding. Hearts that are longing to be in communion with him. Hearts that are pure and holy and worshipful. Hearts that are calling out to God, "Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill me with all that you have for me." In this final week of Lent before Holy Week, this week's prayer guide, "Seek God for the City," is about reconciliation. That is, healing hearts and wounds. And it calls us to be peacemakers. Oddly enough, in our little men's Bible study that I attend on Friday, we discuss just that. Being a peacemaker as God calls us into the world and what that means out of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. A peacemaker is, in the biblical sense, is being an introducer of the true peacemaker, introducing Jesus Christ into the world, into situations, whatever that situation may be. You can't force your faith on anyone, but we can instruct. We can be a witness. We can be an example. We can bring hope. We can introduce reconciliation. Debbie and I went to see a movie Friday night. It's the opening night of the movie called I Can Only Imagine. And if you know about Christian music over the past 20 years or so, there's a group called Mercy Me, and the lead singer is Bart Millard. And it's a wonderful movie. I recommend anybody to go see it because it's about reconciliation and healing in situations. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but he wrote that song in 1999 out of what he went through in life. A wonderful movie of how God works in our lives and brings healing and wholeness. By the way, the song title went back in 1999 and is still real popular today. It crossed into the secular markets as well. It went triple platinum on the charts. The point is, God wants to do so much in our lives, but we should never hide who we are in doing that. So the reminder for us this week is, where's your bumper sticker? Is it visible? Allow Jesus to live fully in you by his Spirit. Doesn't mean you go out and take your bumper sticker off and stick it on somebody else's forehead. It means you be who you are in Christ. Allow that hope to be seen. Seek him in all that you do. Then see how he will work through you. You will be amazed at what he wants to do and what he will do through you if you allow him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that we can each have in this life. Father, you paid the price that we might even be here in this place today. So, Father, I ask the anointing of your Spirit to be on each person here, that you would just work in their hearts, Lord God. If there's anybody here who does not know you, Lord God, I pray that you would just help them to come into that fullness and that relationship that only you can bring, the completeness that only you can bring, Lord God, just by saying, yes, yes, Jesus, I receive you into my life. So, Father, I ask that you would just move by your Spirit. Help us when we leave this place, Lord God, to be your ambassadors, to be the people you called us to be, to walk among this community proud of who we are in you. Use us, Lord God, wherever we may be, that we might touch lives of other people and bring the hope that only you can bring, to bring the peace that only you can bring. So, Father, we ask, even as we prepare for Easter, when some people come to church for maybe the first time or the only time in their lives, that you begin working in their hearts even today to come to churches all over this community, Lord God, that they will come to find the truth of who you are. And we pray for your word to be spoken in those churches, that your word would come alive in people's hearts. So prepare us, Lord God, but also prepare those who will hear. So, Father, we thank you, we give you thanks, we give you praise for all that you are doing and will continue to do through each and every one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.